Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Would you turn there, please? Before I begin reading, I would say again what a blessing it is to be here with you. And many who have been unable to be with us are here. It's so good to look out at you and see you here in God's house. And I thank the Lord for you. Matthew 14, I'm going to begin reading with verse 14, the Lord willing. Matthew 14, verse 14. I'll read through verse 32. A little bit of a longer scripture this morning, but I want to give you a little background. We're going to concentrate on the verses that deal with the storm at sea when the disciples were in a boat tossed by the waves. But before we read about that, I want to read about a great miracle, another miracle that Jesus performed. Matthew 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Matthew 14, verses 14 through 32. Pray with me again, brethren. Let's pray together that God would open his word to us and help me to preach your word and you and me to hear the word. Let's pray for that to take place. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word. Read it together. Oh, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come and open it to us. Open our hearts. Father, you've made us alive spiritually. You bless us to be your children. You're our Father, our Heavenly Father. Now bless us, Lord, to glorify you, to worship you in spirit and truth. And bless us to grow in knowledge, grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Come by the Spirit, Lord, and direct us. We need you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. We want to serve you, Lord. We want to please you. We want to honor, glorify you today, lift you up. We want to be lifted up, Lord, into a sacred nearness with you. We want to grow, Lord, and be edified, established in the truth. Speak now, please, Lord. Speak to us through your word by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and for his sake. Amen. I love this. Love this account, brethren. Love it. It's a couple of miracles here we want to look at today. I wanted to read a little bit about the feeding of the multitude here. Jesus, it says, there was he's out in a wilderness place. There are many, many that are following him here, following him physically. Some following him as he's their master and they are his disciples. Some may be following him for the miracles. Some may be following him for the food. We have here a multitude. It says he has compassion on them and he healed their sick. Verse 14, the day's getting on now, and it's a desert place. And his disciples, I think that means the apostles there, the ones that are closest to him, they say, Lord, we're out here in the wilderness. There's no store nearby. There's no source of food nearby. Send them away. It's getting late. And he says, they don't have to go. You feed them. And of course, they say, all we have is 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And a beautiful thing, brethren, verse 18, Jesus says, bring them here. Bring them to me. Lots of lessons in these. That's not what is on my heart today, the main thing. But, brethren, bring what you have to Jesus. Just bring it to him. Oh, he can multiply it. You bring it. You bring the starter. And he'll magnify it. There's some kind of bread that ladies bake that you have to have a starter with it, don't you? And you keep that starter and then it grows. I don't know all about that. But brethren, bring it to Jesus. That's a lesson in that. Now, and he fed them. He fed them. He looked up to heaven. He blessed it. He began to break these loaves and fishes and give to the disciples to the multitude. All of verse 20, and they did all eat. They did all eat. The older I get, the more I love sitting around the table and watching my children and grandchildren eat. I just love it. They did all eat and were filled. Brethren, if you leave my table, if you're not filled, it's your own fault. Because God gives me a bountiful table and does you too. They were all filled. I love that. And then they took up the leftovers. They had 12 baskets full. God makes sure, brethren, that we know that there's, after feeding 5,000 men plus women and children, besides women and children, that he still had more left than when they started. Only God can do that, brethren. Now verse 22. This is the heart of the lesson for today. And God bless us as we study together. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Again, brethren, I take that to be the apostles, the 12 apostles. Jesus straightway constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Jesus sends his disciples out, brethren. He did here and he does now. He knows where they're going. He knows what they're going to meet with, but he sends them anyway. And he is busy about sending the multitude away, sending them home. They're well fed now, and he sends them away. Now, what does Jesus do, brethren? He sends the apostles, tells them to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. The other side is the other side of the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Tiberias. I think it's all the same thing. There's a body of water there. And he sends them, you fellas now get into the boat, go the other side, and I'm going to send the multitude away. And maybe he said also, I'm coming on. Maybe he said that. But what we're told is he sends them to the other side, and he's sending the multitude away. Now, where does he go? Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain apart to pray. Oh, brethren, don't miss that. Don't miss that. That Jesus, God in the flesh, holy God, holy man, He goes up right by himself to pray in a mountain apart. What's that teach you and me? I need to pray, number one, and I don't spend enough time in prayer. Jesus, God's Son, brethren, goes up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone in prayer. Ask yourself, brethren, how much time do I spend alone in prayer? Just me and God, praying to God through Jesus in the Spirit. I heard that recently, a preacher was talking about it, and I think that's exactly right. We pray to God the Father through Jesus, who is our intermediary, our intercessor, and we pray in the Spirit. Jesus was there alone praying, brethren. He's there, it's dark, he's there alone praying. Wonder what he's praying for, we're not told. Praying for strength, for service, praying for direction as a man, praying that God would bless his efforts, be with him, give him direction, help him, strengthen him. He was there alone praying. Now the scene changes. It's like a play here, isn't it? The multitudes have gone. They're in the wilderness. There's a great feast there. Jesus sends the apostles, the disciples away in a boat. They launch out onto the Sea of Galilee. Jesus stays behind, sends the great body of people away. And then he goes up into the mountain. He's praying. Now the scene changes to the disciples in the ship. Verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Contrary means it's against you. It's tossing you around. It's stronger than you. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. I touched on this just a moment ago. I want to ask you, did Jesus know what was going to happen to those disciples when he told them, you launch out now and I'll meet you on the other side? Did he know what was ahead? Of course he did. He knows everything. But he still sent them. He still sent them. Don't let anybody tell you, brethren, if you follow Jesus, if you trust and obey him, that it's going to be smooth sailing all the way. It's not always going to be smooth sailing. At times it will. At times it won't. But Jesus knows, brethren, smooth seas don't make good sailors. I think I said that to you several weeks ago. Thought of it as I was getting ready for this sermon. And I looked it up and it's credited to some famous person as saying it. I don't know. I can't remember now who said it. But think about it, brethren. Smooth seas don't make good sailors. We're talking today about the theme or the lesson that I hope I want to learn and you learn is that, brethren, difficulties come. Are you in a difficult time now? It was this week that I was praying and asking God what to study. And I was reading in Matthew and I read this account. Because I'll tell you what, brethren, I've been sailing on some rough seas this week. I have been. I don't know about you, but you can probably figure out what the storm's been tossing me around. It has. I fasted and I prayed three Tuesdays ago. And the last time I fasted and prayed was this past Tuesday. And I urged you to, maybe for a couple of Tuesdays. I know I did this past Tuesday. And I just begged God to do what I thought was, I know the answer. I know what needs to be done, God. I want you to do this. I'm praying for that. And Lord, I really mean it because I didn't even eat breakfast this morning. Now I skipped lunch and I'm hungry, but I want you to hear me. Now I know what you need to do, Lord. I want you to do this. But I did have the wisdom a few times to say, well, Lord, I just realize I don't know what's best, but I think I do. Well, so far it hasn't happened, brethren. And the wind's kicked up and it's tossed me around some. And so as I was reading in Matthew this week, I was reading this very account, and I said, I need that, and maybe the people here at the church need that. I don't know. I don't know what they need. I pray and I try to ask God, and maybe He knows. He certainly knows. But brethren, when I thought about Jesus sending those disciples out on that sea, it could have been a very, very calm day at the time. And they are evening, late evening, and they shoved off and said, here we go. We'll be at the other side in a little while. But then the winds kick up and the storm tosses them about. And Jesus knew it. He knew it already. He knew it. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch, I read this about watches in the night. They had the Hebrews had different watches, had watches, and the Romans had watches. And a little question about what the fourth watch means. But this is what I think it means. I'll share it with you. There's about 12 hours roughly in the night. And the first watch is from eventide for 3 hours, about 6 to 9. Second watch is 9 to midnight. Third watch, midnight to 3 a.m. And the fourth watch, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And then the night's over. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Have you ever lay in your bed at night and just wished for the day? When Paul was on that ship in Acts, in that Euroclydon, that storm, a tempest at sea, it says they threw out the anchors and they wished for the day. They said, come on, daylight, hurry up and get here. They've been in a storm for days and nights, hadn't seen the sun or the moon for days on and nights on end. And they wished for the day. And in the fourth watch, brethren, I guess when the fourth watch came, they said, well, it's 3 hours now, roughly 3 hours till daylight. Maybe we're going to make it. The fourth watch of the night. Jesus didn't come, brethren, in the first watch, nor the second, nor the third. He didn't come, but He came. He came. He never will forsake. He, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into them. Why didn't he come in the first or second watch? Why not? And I've asked Him that myself before when I've been in trouble. Why didn't you come sooner, Lord? The short answer is he knows what's best for me. He's got a reason for doing what He does. And He has absolute sovereignty. He can come when He wants to. But He will come. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. How'd He get there? Another boat? Nope. Swimming? No. Walking on the sea. How about that? No wonder it scared those guys. They'd never seen that before. Walking on the sea. I got a verse here from Job. I've been reading in Job lately. Listen to Job 9:8. Job says this. He treadeth upon the waves of the sea. He's talking about God and His power. Job 9:8. He treadeth upon the waves of the sea. That's the God, brethren, that comes to you. The title of the lesson is Jesus went unto them. That's what it says. Jesus, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. Do you need Jesus, brethren, to come to you? He treadeth upon the waves of the sea. I've got another one. Psalm 95:5. The psalmist says this. He's talking about God. The sea is His, and He made it. I reckon if it belongs to Him, brethren, and He made it, He can walk on it if He wants to. The sea is His, and He made it. The psalmist is talking about the creativity and the power and the sovereignty of God. It's His. He made it. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Well, they were already scared, brethren, but they see something that frightens them even more. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. I think it's in one of the Matthew, Mark, and John all record this event. And I believe it's one of the other gospel writers that says that they rode hard, but they couldn't make any progress because the wind was against them. Did you row hard lately? Did you ask God, this is what I want, please give us this, please help us? Did you row hard? Did you work hard? Did you go to the polls? Did you encourage your friends? Did you pray? Did you do what you could? And it looks like you're not making any progress. Well, if you're like me, brethren, you need Jesus to come to you. You're troubled. You cry out. You fear, frankly, sometimes. You fear what's ahead. And thank you, Sister Jane, for picking out that I know who holds tomorrow today. Now, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know Him. I know who's got tomorrow in His hand. It's God, and I know God because He knows me. And that's comforting. But they don't recognize Jesus walking on the water. They think it's a ghost, a spirit, and they cry out for fear. Now get this, brethren, but straightway Jesus speaks to them. He doesn't delay. As soon as they cry out in fear, He answers them. He responds to them and He says, cheer up. Be of good cheer. It's me. It's me. You know, they heard His voice just hours before. They've been with Him. They've been walking with Him. They've been following Him. They knew the sound of that voice. Isn't it good when you hear a familiar voice? I was in the bank the other day and I had on my mask. Jan was sitting in the truck and I said, I feel funny putting on a mask and walking into this bank here. I said, maybe they'll recognize me. And I walked up to the teller and they were looking at me and I was looking at them. And I said, hello, ladies, how are you all? And they began to smile. And they said, Mr. Mike, we didn't know that was you, but when you spoke, we recognized you. We heard your voice. Jesus, brethren, speaks. He says, be of good cheer. It's me. It's me. It doesn't say here, it's Jesus, y'all. It says, it's me. He doesn't have to say His name. He just says, it's me. Be not afraid. I love that. Be not afraid. So many times in the Word of God, God says, fear not. God or His messenger or His man says two words, fear not. Here Jesus says, be not afraid. It's me. Brethren, don't be afraid. In fact, do what Peter does. Bold Peter. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. The title of this lesson is Jesus went unto them. You see, that's in verse 27. And the rest of the title is this. Go to Jesus. Bid me come. Come unto thee on the water. And what's Jesus' answer? Verse 29. Come. Come on. Come on out here, Peter. Come. Come to me. And Peter got out of the boat, brethren. Now, you know what I heard a preacher say a few years ago? And I have not forgotten it. We talk about Peter and we talk about him sinking. And my first thought is, oh, goodness. Oh, Peter, there you go again. You failed. You're sinking, man. You're sinking. You know what a preacher said? And I've never forgotten it. He said, at least he got out of the boat. Y'all heard that, hadn't you? Isn't that a good point? Man, oh, man. I'd have been hugging the life preserver in that boat. That'd be me. No, sir. You wouldn't have got me out of the boat. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, listen to this. He walked on the water. I guess he's the only man ever to do that besides God. Simon Peter walked on the water. Lots of lessons in that, and I certainly don't know them all or don't see them all, but watch this, brethren. He walked on the water. Why? To show what a big shot he was. To see what, show the others what he could do. He walked on the water. Last four words, to go to Jesus. go to Jesus. And isn't that something, brethren? That was his reason for getting out of the boat. He wanted to go to Jesus. There's a contemporary hymn. I love it. I think it's called Untitled Melody. I think that's the name of it. I don't know, but it talks about babies learning to walk, and sometimes they fall. And it says, "Fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus." Sometimes when you walk, you fall, and then it goes on with "Run to Jesus" and "Sing to Jesus" and so on. I can't remember the words. Beautiful words. Beautiful words. Maybe you know it. It's beautiful. But he walked on the water, brethren, to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. When I was getting my notes ready, I remembered something that happened. It would have been around 1985, 84 or 5. Our oldest son was born in 1984. And I remember this vividly. I don't remember it with the other two children, but I remember it with the first one. You can probably understand that. His mother and I sat down on the living room floor, and we put our legs like this, and one of us would hold him up and point him at the other and say, go to mama or go to daddy. And he would look at mama. He wouldn't look over here or here. He'd look at mama, and he would go to mama. He would, and she'd reach way out and catch him. He'd take about one or two or three steps, and then she'd turn him around and she'd say, "Go to daddy." And he was walking, brethren, as it were, on the water, because he couldn't do it on his own, but he kept his eyes on us. And when he did that, he'd walk to us and grin, and we'd clap and just have a big old time. I remember that. And one of the lessons in that is when he Peter saw the wind boisterous and he was afraid. Our little boy, he didn't see anything. He wasn't afraid. He was excited because he watched us, and we maintained eye contact, and we said, "You can do it. You can do it." So you know, you see the lesson in that, don't you? I need to, this week, with the waves tossing me around, well, I just need to look to Jesus. I need to keep my eye on Him, because He's the one who knows. He knew Monday, brethren. He knew Tuesday when I was fasting all day. He knew what was ahead. Frankly, really, I was pretty calm and I was pretty confident it was going to turn out the way I wanted it to. It hasn't yet. I don't know if it will or not. But sort of really, brethren, that's dimmed a little bit. And what's shining brighter is Jesus. Just keeping my eyes on Him, because He knows the result, and He's got it in His control. A sparrow can't even fall to the ground without His notice. So, brethren, I just need to trust in Him. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, I love these words, "Lord, save me." That's about the shortest prayer you'll find anywhere in the Bible, I think. Three words, "Lord, save me." And watch again in verse 31. And immediately, you see, straightway when they were scared and calling out, he said, "Don't worry, don't be afraid, it's me." Now in verse 31, when Peter has just exclaimed, "Lord, save me," verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. His head didn't go under, brethren. He didn't sink. Part of him did. I don't know how deep he got, but his head didn't go under. The Lord caught him. He reached forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith." One of the commentators said, Jesus didn't say, "O you with no faith." He said, "You got a little." Thank the Lord for that. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth, brethren? Peter's got that measure of faith there, brethren, that God gave him when he reborned him. He's got it. He's got some faith. And he had enough to get out of the boat, I'll tell you that. He had more than I would have had. "O thou of little faith, why'd you doubt? Why'd you doubt, Peter?" Oh, can you hear the Lord saying that to you? What are you doubting? What are you fretting about? do all you can. Get out of the boat. Do what you can. But don't fret. Don't worry. And when they were come into the ship, Simon Peter and Jesus got into the ship. The wind ceased. Storm's over. Storm is over. This storm we're in, I'm in. You may be in it too. It'll be over. It'll be over at some point. I don't know when. But the master of the ocean is in control. And so don't worry. Don't worry. But pray. Pray. Jesus himself prayed. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting God. Keep on loving. Brother Ralph taught us this morning. Keep on loving. I fight the urge to say things and write things and post things. I fight that urge. And last night, that little boy that learned to walk so many years ago, I sent him a text and said, "I don't think you're doing yourself any good posting what you're posting." And we had a good talk. Had a good talk about it. I don't know if I had wisdom or not, said the right thing or not. I wanted to and I tried to. But so be careful, brethren, about that. And do what Brother Ralph taught us through the Word of God this morning. Just love and love. Overcome evil with good. Just overcome it. And when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, just know that Jesus says you're blessed when that happens. You're blessed. Just keep loving. Just keep doing what I did and what I tell you to do. Because He is in control. The sea is His and He made it. He treadeth upon the waves of the sea. And when you fall, brethren, when you start sinking, you cry out to Him, "Lord, save me. Help me. I'm struggling. Help me." And immediately He will. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank You that You don't change, that Your faithfulness is indeed great. Morning by morning, new mercies we see, every one of us. Thank You, Father, for that. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this historical account of something that happened in history, and You put it in Your Word for our learning. Thank You, Father, for Christ Jesus exercising His power to save and to teach. Give us the example. May we follow it. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and the One who treads upon the seas, the One who made it. In His name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If you love God, it's because He first loved you. If you want to serve Him here with the people of this place, this local body of Christ, come forward and let me know it, and you'll be received in any way the gospel authorizes. For the end.